Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear once again from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Words. We throw them around all the time. We can use words to describe something very beautiful. We can use words to act in anger toward other people. We can use words to describe our hopes and dreams or our fears. We learn quite young in life how to use words. It might be mama and dada at first. Maybe comes no before that, maybe a little bit after that. We certainly know that as we live our life, we are going to communicate with various people, and along the way, we're going to begin to figure out how words describe who we are and the way we think and the way our world looks. Some people talk about it as a world view. I might suggest that it's like looking out the window and seeing out there everything that you see, but also describing what you would like to see. What would our world be like if we actually had the power that our words could make something happen instead of simply be noise in the air that may accomplish nothing? Every parent has been struggling with and frustrated by the fact that words often don't bring actions. Would you please clean up your room? Nothing. Young people might be on the phone for hours, or now texting or whatever else. Be asked, what'd you talk about? Oh, nothing. Which really means I talked about very important stuff, but you're not going to hear it. But what about God? Do his words matter? This text says, God's words don't return empty. They accomplish what God wants them to accomplish. And right after that, it talks about the beauty, the splash of the trees and everything that God is going to make to grow. Well, even if you've only barely begun sometime in your life to read the Bible, Genesis 1 verse 2 says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. God speaks, and something actually happens. When God says he is going to do something, sooner or later, he accomplishes it. This text in Isaiah 55 is at the end of a section of material that we've looked at in various Advent and Lenten devotions from Isaiah chapter 40 and following. And the words are addressed to a situation of people in despair. People who have been taken away from their own land, the land of milk and honey, because of their sins. They were not all wiped out completely, but they were taken to exile in southern Iraq. And now words are being spoken. Get ready. We're going back home. And so the prophet says, God has sent me to preach good news. We're going back home. And the ears of the listeners were dull. We're stopped up. Couldn't believe it. Can't be true. We know what the real world looks like. That's not going to happen. Babylon's going to be taken down. This mighty power that you're so afraid of is going to lose its control. Cyrus the Persian is coming in. And they don't listen. Good news sometimes sounds too good. People can make all sorts of promises that never come true. I made a promise to Kathy. Didn't work really well to go see Hello Dolly this week. But I said, next week, we'll go see Hello Dolly over at the Pavilion. Check out next Sunday. Did I keep my promise? Okay, it's a little promise. Do I mean it? Marilyn thinks so. I do too. I know better than to make promises that I really don't mean. But there are a lot of times when we do. Well, if I get around to it, I'll do that. Our list is long of things that we promise and intend to do, maybe sooner or later. When God says he's going to do something, one can be sure. And so at the end of this section, God says, you have heard, he says through the prophet, but he says, you have heard me make a promise to you that I am going to bring you back into the place of beauty that you left because of your sins and the sins of others. I am going to do it. So what do we think? Well, he was delayed. We talked about that in Bible class this morning. Delayed for hundreds of years. Too many people would have said, well, God's not going to keep his promise anymore. It's sort of like other people. They make promises, but they can't deliver. And yet here's our Lord coming in the spirit of Isaiah, who says the same thing. I forgive you your sins. Those from southern Iraq came back. And they didn't get everything they wanted right away, but God brought them back. In fact, people like Ezra came back, and Ezra says, I was so afraid when I was coming back to go through all those dangerous areas like Syria and Lebanon as I was coming back home and northern Iraq. But I told the Persian leader that our God wanted us to go back, and so I couldn't very well ask for a guard. We got back and nobody gave us any trouble all along the way. It worked. Ezra says, I took God at his word and he took care of me. Doesn't mean bad things don't happen, even to believers. But our Lord comes and he says, I am going to plant in you my word. My word of power, the word that will bring you back, not just back to the land of Israel, which, as we have seen once again, continues to be a source of pain and hatred and animosity. But I'm going to bring you back to that Garden of Eden relationship that you call heaven. Complete peace with me. He does that by breaking down the relationship of hatred and wrath between God and all of us when he dies on a cross. When he is put to death instead of us by his Father, so that all of us can be marked with the holiness and the righteousness of God himself. No ifs, ands, or buts. It's true. He says so. To live by faith means we act according to that. We act in our relationship with each other according to that. When our words come out, I forgive you, I love you, and those words are moved by God in our hearts to bring the blessings of the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation, that's a reality. When I baptize a child or an adult into the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the deed is done. That's the way it is for the rest of all eternity, unless that person says, I don't want anything to do with it. When the words are spoken, this is my body, this is my blood of the new covenant, right then, we receive that. When we hear the words, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, now, complete, forgiven, reminded of a relationship that is always true, that we need to hear about again and again, because this world weighs us down, and the Lord lifts us up. I haven't referred to this in a long time, but I don't know if any of you remember what a Christian diet is. Diets are supposed to work that the less you eat, the lighter you get. The more you eat, the heavier you get. That's what they say. Seems to work for me. Kind of. But the Christian diet's the other way. The less you eat, the less you are touched by that good news of salvation, the heavier you get. The more you are weighed down in your own life. The more you hear it, and I'm not advocating moving into church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But the more you hear the good news, the lighter you get. Because you're touched by the Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth. And he says, I carry your burdens. You don't have to carry them all by yourself. You're not alone in this. The struggles that are there in life, the thorns and the thistles that he talks about, are not the final way it's going to turn out. He goes with us as the one who not only died but rose. And as he says those words, I'll be with you always. I forgive you. I promise you life and salvation. We can count on it. We can bank on it. We can bring all of our hurts and our fears and our sins to our God and lay them here and say, Lord, I can't make it by myself. Please, even when it doesn't look like anything is changing or different, help me know that in my heart you have given me peace and you help me go forth each day. Yesterday, as I was on my way to doing some communions, it was raining mightily. As I was going down to go through Como Park, I have never seen the water come down the hill by the fairgrounds as hard and fast as it was coming, up to the bumpers of the cars. Today, a beautiful day. An absolutely beautiful, gorgeous, wonderful day. We need the rain, we need the sunshine. I guess we need the snow, some of it anyway, that Isaiah talks about. But those are little hints. As those things keep happening and keep functioning, our God is working with us as well. Now, what does that mean? It means that we come and open ourselves up to God and say, open up the corners of my heart. Let me know where I resist you. Let me know where I'm pushing you away and saying, I'm not going to let you touch me. Lord, open up everything in me that I might do your will, that I might rejoice in being your child, in living my life honorably, in the way that you would have me to live it, in asking you to take away from me anything that gets in the way. And Lord, even if I'm not watching for it and ready for it, please do it anyway, that I might live my life to praise and honor and glorify you already now, as I will forever. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.